Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Second Guest Show. Mike to take you along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, and Grant, you know he's here each and every Monday night. We had the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by and visit us. Bobby J and I will be on until 6:30 tonight. Then we threw it to the Saints Radio Network, and we'll have our Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. Mike Hoss will join us. And he'll have on with him Saints head coach Kellen Moore. And his guest tonight will be quarterbacks coach Scott Tolson, former NFL quarterback, now working with Tyler Shuck, who had a really impressive game. And then you can catch Monday Night Football. It will be on 105.3 FM, where the Eagles play the L.A. Chargers. Bob, today Tulane made it official. Will Hall is going to be the new head coach there, taking over for John Summerall. And we'll talk a lot more about it a little bit later in the show. But, man, everywhere you go now, hey, got something there with that Tyler Shuck guy. He really, really played well. And in a crucial spot, was able to get you a W over the team most likely to win the NFC South again.
Well, it just goes to show you, how you manage the game. You might say, well, you don't want a quarterback manager. Yeah, you want a quarterback to manage and lead the team. Before I get into what Tyler Shuck actually accomplished, Jeff Duncan, I wrote this, and it's about leadership and where the Saints are at and where they've been post Sean Payton, post Drew Brees. And the Saints have really had defensive leaders, but they haven't had offensive leaders, because not everybody wants to lead. You could be a star and you might be, I just want to play, you're not a great communicator, and really ultimately you'd want your best players to be the leaders, but they don't always work that way. You might have a great leader and now he's okay, he's good, and now ultimately you want the quarterback to be a great leader and a great player so they can follow. Like, for instance, defensively, we've always had that outstanding leadership with DeMario Davis and Cam Jordan. And even when Honey Badger came on board, then you get a veteran like Justin Reed, who was like that alpha, in the meeting room with the defensive backs. But if you look at the Saints offense and the leadership abilities, and Jeff went on to say this, and it's so true, that the Saints' best offensive players have not always been the best leader, their best leaders. And their best offensive leaders have not always been their best players. And it tends to work better on teams and on offenses when you have both. Like Drew Brees was a perfect example. He was the quarterback and he was the leader, so you knew who to follow. Well, I think Tyler Shuck's that guy. I truly believe Tyler, you know, let it, Bobby, let it be patient. Let it play itself out. But the Saints have more than just, okay, who's our future quarterback? Well, let's see what Tyler Shuck does the rest of the season. I think he can have the utmost success considering, you know, the strength of schedule and who we play in. We definitely can go on a winning streak. We whipped Carolina last time we played them. You don't think we could beat the Jets and the Titans? And then now it'd be kind of redemption considering how poorly you played in the Dome against the Falcons to win that. Now, some fans, you know, I guess they might be that way at work. And instead of worrying about themselves, they look at too much like the future. Oh, but Bobby, what if we win all these games? Now we were picking 1, 2, or 3. Now we're like number 5. We win all these games. Now what, are we going to pick 10, 11, or 12? Well, as a player, that's why there's no such thing as tanking in the NFL. Because you're constantly being evaluated as a player, and you want this to be your occupation, and you want to be a pro. So you're going to fight, and you have pride, and you're competing out there, so you want to put your best foot forward. So that's why we had people calling the post-game show yesterday, and they were like, oh, well, the Saints look good, but I wish they would play good and not win the game. So we still have a top three pick. We have more than one player. You look at all areas of where we can get a lot better. And I'm talking about not only winning the NFC South, but ultimately playing for championships. And I've said this. What quarterback in college is better than Tyler Shuck right now? Okay, Mike, you do this for a living. I want you to tell me a quarterback right now that's in college that's coming out with the draft 2026 that's better than Tyler Shuck. I would say there isn't one. There isn't.
Well, Mendoza's close.
He can't move like Tyler Shuck. Mendoza can move better than Jared Goff. Mendoza can't move like Tyler Shuck.
I told you, Fernando Mendoza, you know who he reminds me of? He's a faster version of Jared Goff.
Yes.
He's a faster version of Goff.
Now
you'd have to have the first pick to get Mendoza.
And the Saints aren't going to have the first pick. They're not going to be the worst team. Mike, I'm telling you, we can go on a run and win some games right now that, you know, we all thought, oh, the Saints are going to pick in the top three for sure. But, I mean, you look at the remaining schedule, the Saints can win those games. And we have the opportunity to play spoiler right now. We just spoiled Tampa Bay by, they still got a chance to win the NFC South, but it's not like a slam dunk they're going to win it. Now the Panthers had a bye. We helped them out. And now they're tied for first. So we could be a spoiler and help out Tampa Bay again by beating Carolina. You know, and I know this. Whenever they have this in organizations, it's like Saints Alumni Week. All the old players come around and the young players, they always want to have a good showing. Because a lot of these old players, they might go to 1 or 2 games a year, but they get together and they want to be proud on the team they played. So I think they'll want to have a good showing against Carolina. Now, on the flip side, Carolina got humbled by the Saints. Carolina's been running the ball over everyone. Then you look at Donald, Mike, in their 1-2 punch with Algier. The Saints stuffed them.
Well, it's Chuba Hubbard.
Not Algier. I mean, yeah. Chuba Hubbard. They didn't do anything. You remember how they, like, they just, and they hadn't been stopped like that.
And so they say, beat me with Bryce. He couldn't pay for yards downfield. He couldn't throw the football at all. And then what they did against the Rams.
Right.
Bob, they're the Jekyll and Hyde team in the NFC. That you don't know what you're going to get week to week with them.
So what we're hoping for is after the Carolina game, we laid an egg against Atlanta in the Dome. And we want to put back-to-back wins, you know, stacking it, and build upon what you did against Tampa. And, you know, give the home folks something to cheer for. Man, we have not had any don't feel advantage. We have not played well at home. I don't know if they're pressing too much or want a good showing. you know, they go to Tampa. Well, no one's expecting us to win. We were the most underdog in the NFL on the weekend. We were 8.5-point underdog, and then you win by 4 points. So when you look at what's going to come up on Sunday, I wanted to have a good showing and to kind of to rain on the parade of Carolina, because you would have swept them. I said this even when I thought they'd win only, you know, 5-6 games, whatever. But I thought we had a great opportunity, because I didn't think the NFC South is overwhelming, that they could be 500, 3-3. Well, what are they right now? They're 2-2. Yeah, so I mean, like, oh, Bob, we're not going to win a game in the NFC South. No, I'm just saying within the division, you cannot look at the records. But the one thing what's promising about Shuck, that if you look at his ability to extend plays, his pocket presence. Now, you have to look at how you play in the game. And, oh, Bobby, he only threw for 144 yards. He was 13 of 20, and he had the interception. To me, that interception miscommunications, I'm not just taking it for the quarterback. I'm telling you that the receiver did the wrong thing. I've been too many times where the ball was already out of Shuck's hands.
He was thrown to an area.
And then when Olave stops and thought it would like be like a back shoulder or a direct throw there. So anyway, but then you look at 7 carries, 55 yards. Look, if you look at what he was able to do, that 34-yard touchdown run, that was the longest of the season, running back or anybody. You know, Taysom Hill had that 29-yard run, so he has a 34-yard touchdown run. And then the second one, how he got out the pocket, that was as good as Lamar Jackson or anyone.
Because two guys had him.
Oh, no, no. Two, if not three. Yeah. And then he just got to the corner. You could see the speed, how that was coming about. So I thought that was interesting. And then if you look at it, the three defenders weren't going to get him down. Now, that 13-yard touchdown run, one of the most impressive that I've witnessed, kind of Houdini-like. And that gave the Saints a 24-17 lead. And Coach Kellen Moore, seen a lot of football, even though he's young, he said that was a big-time play. I agree with that 100%, 1,000%, whatever. That is as big-time as they get. Drew Brees couldn't have done that. Drew Brees was an unbelievable Hall of Fame quarterback. Drew Brees can't run like Tyler Shuck. I'm telling you, Tyler Shuck's like our version of Josh Allen-like with the Buffalo Bills and how he can run.
And no one could have told you that even 3 weeks ago. Now, because when I watched him last year at Louisville with Jeff Braun,
yep.
I think one of the things Jeff tried to do was try to protect him because he had had two major injuries.
Right.
You didn't see enough of that at Oregon or Texas Tech to say, I know. Now, I have some people, they want to swear to you they knew. No one knew he could run that good.
Well, no one knew Drake May was going to be this good with the Patriots. Or he'd have got drafted higher.
No, he was three.
Well, but he'd have been one overall.
He'd have been maybe one overall.
Look at Drake May. But, I mean, after last season, he didn't start off. Jacoby Brissett started the season with the Patriots. Then they put Drake May in.
Week seven?
Yeah, because it was after the first game he started, the Vikings, they didn't win. And then they kind of said, oh, it was promising. Look where they're at now with the Patriots. I'm telling you, Tyler Shuck is the guy to me. And this was interesting. Look at this stat. You know I love stats. Since Drew Brees retired, the Saints have had 30 opportunities to put together a go-ahead drive in the final 10 minutes of games. You know, how are you going to close out games in the fourth quarter? And this is including this against Tampa Bay in the rain. Shuck's run was only the fifth go-ahead touchdown the Saints have scored in those situations, and it marks only the second time New Orleans had hung on for a win. The other time it was 2022 against Seattle. So out of 30 opportunities only happened 5 times, and you witnessed. I'm telling you, that you're going to remember what Shuck did, and now he got to build upon this. Then obviously you got to stay healthy and all that. The Saints need to worry about getting better players around Shuck.
Bingo.
We got the right quarterback. Got to get a better supporting cast.
We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Back here on the Second Guest Show, Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by and visit us. Bobby J and I will be on until 6:30 tonight. Let's go to our talking text line. Let's go to Longshoreman hanging on, Bob. Longshoreman, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
What's up, Bobby and Mike? Man, thank y'all for taking my call. How you doing, fellas?
All right, Longshoreman, you had to be pleased with that game yesterday, huh?
Yeah, Bobby, you know, look, any little glimmer of hope, and, you know, I mean, a win is a damn good glimmer of hope, because we needed that. Just like Mike said this morning, man, we were thirsty and we needed a damn drink.
Yeah, right.
and you got it. And what I like to see is the grit on that type of field. You know, everything's wet, the ball's wet, the grass is wet, you cleats are, you know, but they kept pounding the ball, which I liked. I thought the running game looked okay.
Solid yesterday. Well,
you look at the running game. Glad you said it. We averaged 4.3 yards a carry. Ran the ball 32 times, and the quarterback runs do count. No, yeah. I was very encouraged by that. Yet to be encouraged too about the how about Devin Neal, the young running back, his first career touchdown. He was running hard. He knows his assignment. I mean, look, he finished with 70 yards, a touchdown on 19 carries. He had that big 14-yard catch to convert on that third down on that final Saints touchdown drive. No, that's what you need. Young players like that. Yeah. Okay, had opportunity, step up. Alvin Kamara, no, he's dealing with it. Alvin Kamara's not our future. Players like Devin Neal and all that, you need a lot of young cats stepping up and helping the team.
The other thing, too, is them being having Devon Vele more involved in their without offense the last 2 weeks. And you see that there's a little bit of a bond starting to take place now between Vele and Shuck.
Well, he was tied, and it should be like this. If he don't have the most targets every game, he should have as much as Chris Olave. They both had five targets and three catches. Yeah, I mean...
I mean, what the hell's going on with Olave, though? I mean, what is that one busted play? I mean, it looked like Shuck knew where he was going with that ball. And it, I don't know, the go route or whatever. But then he turns and stops his route. Like, what in the heck was he thinking, Bobby?
Yeah, I don't know. It could be like a back shoulder when you take it off like a go route and how Olave stopped. No, miscommunication. But, again, yeah. I tend to take up for the quarterback. So, I mean, you know, you go one-on-one and you throw that ball down.
We can kind of understand that, huh, Mike?
Yeah, just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Well, I just say most of the time, that's the quarterback's calling the play. You think Shuck forgot what to do? Come on. He's the quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah, the only other one I saw that kind of disturbed me a little bit, I thought that that Shuck should have checked that ball down to Taysom Hill, where he might not have got but a yard or two.
He wouldn't have got sacked.
Check that down. You wouldn't have took a sack. Don't take a sack. He's right there, open. Throw, give him the ball, put it in the playmaker's hand, and let him see if he can make a play. I thought that was kind of a boo-boo.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point, Longshoreman. Yeah, if you're going to nitpick and you break it down, like he got sacked three times. You're going to get sacked. To me, a quarterback should never get sacked unless, like, the guard, in the gay gap between the guard and the center, like you don't have no time. It's like they whiff. No, you got to know where your options are, where you can dump the ball. And Deuce mentioned that on the telecast, on the broadcast, that right then, you know, you're trying to push the ball down the field. But last thing, you have to know where your outlets are. You got to have that clock in your head. And he's going to get better at that because he has pretty good pocket presence. But I thought he could have avoided those three sacks. I was kind of shocked that Baker Mayfield, we didn't sack him. Now, he's very mobile, but I thought...
But they got pressure on him.
I thought
they did get pressure on him yesterday.
Yeah.
And you could tell by the way he was throwing it. Baker normally wants to set his feet and throw it. Yesterday, it was almost a hippity-hop. When he was throwing it, he was either up on his tippy-toes or it was almost like a hippity-hop before he makes the throw.
Yeah,
the Saints got interior pressure on Baker Mayfield yesterday.
Well, if you look at Baker Mayfield, had a passer rating of 55. That was the second worst single-game mark he took since he's been the Buccaneers' starting quarterback. So he ain't done nothing against the Saints. Yeah, I'm just talking about this year. Even when they won, in the first game he passed for 152 yards. Yesterday he had 122. Total of the first game they had 212. Yesterday they had 301. They ran the ball a little better than I would have liked. You know, they had 179 yards rushing. We gave up 4.6. But I still think, you know, should get a lot of recognition. That's definitely the right hire by Kellen Moore is Brandon Staley. We got the right defensive coordinator. Now, if they drive and get the right players he want, I'm not. Like we say, like Vic Fangio, not necessarily a head coach. I think Brandon Staley is outstanding as a defensive coordinator.
I'd love to get another edge rusher because I think, you know, in that style defense, to put pressure, and you know what Chase Young is going to give you on one side, but to have a guy on the other side, I think...
Because Cam's up in age.
Yeah, Cam's getting up in age. I thought Grandison had a good game yesterday.
Carl played awesome. Carl Grandison, five tackles. He had those two tackles for loss. What you don't normally see, Longshoreman and Mike, is...
What was Tampa's thinking on that
fourth down?
Play?
No, Mike.
Almost like Grandison was in the huddle.
What was Todd Bowles doing?
It didn't look like he was in the huddle.
I mean, that shows you that they didn't respect the Saints. When you go for seven fourth downs and at midfield, you look at the field position, that's how we won the game. The Buccaneers were only three of 13 on third down, two of seven on fourth down. So when you break that all down, they were 5 of 20 on third and fourth down, 25%. That is winning football. And you know what was
That's
critical?
Kick ass by your defense.
Exactly. And you know what was critical? We did not lose the turnover margin. Because the Tampa Bay...
They were plus nine going and into
and they
the
were
season.
Second. They were second in the NFL. We were minus five. And you remember, we were minus one, but then we got the interception, Alante Taylor, so we ended up zero. Now, we're still minus one, minus five for the season, but that was critical, I think, because that's why the first game we lost to Tampa Bay. I'm going to say off the top of my head, where we're a minus three, minus so two.
Minus three, you had four, but then you picked one back.
Yeah, I mean, that little bitty thing was critical, but I think what Brandon Staley's doing with the defense, outstanding, and, Carl Granderson,
And with a really young secondary. Think about Quincy Riley, and then you got Jonas Sanker.
Kool-Aid.
Kool-Aid McKinstry in his second year. Alante, he's kind of the old man in the group. What, he's in year three?
Well, I was ready to give Alante Taylor the
business. I thought about you, Bob.
But no, then he came up with the interception. Because we need, if you're the alpha in that secondary, you got to be a dog. Look, if you watched that game last night between the Texans and the Chiefs, how many dogs the Texans got in the secondary? We want to talk about their defense being number
man,
one.
Jalen Petrie, man, he put it to the receiver
and trying to make a catch.
And
then how about LSU at corner?
Man, Stingley. Always, when he was healthy, he played at another level than most corners you could see.
I'm telling you, the Texans, we all brag about Sean Payton and the Broncos defense. The Texans are right there with them.
And, the crazy thing about the Texans, their offensive line is really bad. So C.J. Stroud is getting beat up. But Coach Rod sent me this yesterday. He said, the Packers got 18 SEC players on their team. I said, who else got 18? The Houston Texans. Man, they got some SEC dudes on that team. Think about the new Hunters on that team, along with Stingley. Man, they got a ton of guys from the Southeast Conference.
And they got those edge rushes. Are they coming?
Man, I just wish they could protect CJ better.
Well, D'Amico Ryan, they got a defensive head coach running that 49ers system. And D'Amico Ryan was an outstanding player. So, the Texans, I don't know what the odds are. That might be a good bet to place right now.
Man, you think about...
I think it's wide open in the AFC.
A lot of people haven't talked about them. Jacksonville.
Yes.
And because, man, with Daniel Jones going down, that Riley kid from Notre Dame, he's not going to cut it.
No. I don't think so.
And then you've got with Anthony Richardson.
Anthony Richardson, he's on IR, so he's hurt.
You can forget about it.
No, it'll be interesting to see. And he's supposed to be a stud, the Prince at Jacksonville. Can
he get you over the hump in year one with a head coach with Liam Cohen?
Yeah, can the beautiful quarterback get it done for Jacksonville?
We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on the Second Guest Show, Mike D'Antilio along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Bobby J and I will be on until 6:30 tonight. Hey, if you're in the area, come on by and get you a square for the Monday night game. And you can hear that game on 105.3 FM where the L.A. Chargers play Steve Geller's favorite team, Bob, the Philadelphia Eagles. And, man, I don't know if they're going to get better on offense tonight going up against that Charger defense.
Well, are the Eagles going to fall apart like they did 2 years ago? You remember when they were 9-1, 10-1 or something?
Yeah, what's happened to Saquon?
Yeah, well, talk about going from the penthouse to the outhouse. But he had one game over 100 yards,
yeah,
I think.
That's about it. And so, man, you see their offenses. They see a lot of eight-man fronts now. That deal is, I dare you to be, because I don't think you're going to throw it downfield.
Well, okay, so what? Isn't the object, if you're playing a team game, to win the game?
That's what I think.
You got prima donna receivers. Okay, last time they lost, A.J. Brown said, I did my job. But, yeah, but y'all lost. What are you talking about? I got my targets. I got my catches. And how about when they didn't really target him and he's pounding, but the team won? You already got paid your money. So isn't the object of when you're playing a team sport to win the game? However you're going to win?
Well, listen, by some texters and some callers, that's not the case.
That's fantasy football.
Exactly. And this thing about tanking, to me, it's just remarkable. I don't know how we got that into the vocabulary. And when you look at that sports, that's how you're getting graded as a player and you want them to sort of just quit?
No, that won't happen. That'll never happen because you're constantly being evaluated by your team and the other NFL teams. So if you got to play as a player, so what if you did good against Tampa Bay? You got to do it again against Carolina. Then you got to do it again against the Jets.
Baba, no,
you got to. It's a continuous process.
Yeah, because if you want to stay in this league, hey, you better bust your butt because you know what? They got a young cat behind you that's willing to take your job and fast. I still don't understand it. Maybe we live in that world today about just tanking to get a better pick. But
you can get a better pick. That means that you pick the right player still.
Yeah. Look at it this way, Bob. In the first 15 years of the Saints, they had 13 picks within the top 10 that they either had or traded away that were in the top 10. The two times that they didn't pick in the top 10, they picked 11th and 12th. How many winning seasons did they get in their first 15 years?
Zero.
They didn't get the winning season until 1987, and they started in 67. So it goes to show you it's what you do with that pick. That's what's the biggest thing you got to count on. And right now, you're not having to pay a quarterback. Having to pay him a ton of money. You can go out in free agency and fill the needs like veteran offensive linemen in the interior. Or maybe get you another tight end.
Well, Mike, you always say this. You look at the first round. There's never 32 first-round draft picks.
No.
You know, it's always at mid to high teens maybe. And then you look, you even told
this
me.
This year I got 19.
Okay, yeah.
And then, to show you the story.
And then you even look at top 10. What, maybe three or four can't miss? Like, for sure? You might say, eight or nine. But to me, unless the Saints would be picking in the top three, I'd rather Mickey Loomis trade back and get
one extra pick,
like a two-for-one. In other words, it's because we're more than one player from, like, all of a sudden, the Saints are going to the Super Bowl, stuff. Come on. I'd rather, if we don't have one, two, or three, I don't know where we're going to finish. As far as, let's say we 8 or 9 or something. If someone desperate wanted that pick, now, you'd have to target maybe a couple of players if the stars are aligned and you get them. Because don't it make sense because of the numbers? It's better to have two starters than one? I mean, if you
That's
get like two first rounds.
But this team has never been one to kind of move draft picks all around to get extra picks. Mickey has already explained.
Well, no, we'll give up the picks to get Davenport.
Exactly. That one still is the head scratcher. The crazy thing is, he's still in this league.
Yeah, because he's so talented. But he's not as bad as Zion, but he's pretty bad about being healthy.
Yeah.
No one's worse than Zion.
Man.
They talk about stealing money. He's like, if you look like a definition of stealing money, all you got to put is Zion. You gotta say. I mean, and I don't think he feels guilty about it. He's like rah-rah. He's good in the locker room with the players and all that. We don't need a damn cheerleader. We need a damn player on the court. We need you to be playing and being dominant on the court. Not like uplifting your teammates. No, you need to uplift your teammates and be dominant on the court.
Amen to that. We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're back here on the Second Guest Show, closing out our number one. Mike DeTillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Bob, a couple of guys have announced that they're going to transfer out of LSU. No surprise there. Ahmad Bro, man, he's put on a lot of weight. Man, the first time I saw Ahmad, he was like 17 years old. He comes out of camp. He was maybe 215 pounds. Now he's up to 290. He's leaving.
Didn't the Billy odd receiver?
From Homa. He is also leaving, but also Ashton Stamps, who was a full-time starter at corner in 2024. He ain't hardly hit the field this year. So I have friends of mine that, man, they keep these lists of, all the players' depth chart. Man, I told them, throw that away. By the time this is all over with, you're going to have all a new list once Lane Kiffin comes in, because I think LSU is going to jump in 2 feet first in the transfer portal.
Well, and what the fans want, because he is the quarterback whisperer, who is Lane Kiffin going to get to play quarterback? I mean, that job he did at quarterback, Mike, look how
– Trinidad Chambliss.
Yeah, and he wasn't even the start at the beginning till the entry, right?
Austin Simmons gets hurt, the left-hander who's a former baseball pitcher. Charlie and I, we went and talked to him at Manning Camp. He was supposed to be the guy.
Nobody was talking about Chambliss then. So,
no.
You know what's amazing what Kevin's able to do? They'll have like a handful, at least two or three quarterbacks that want to be coached by Kiffin. And therefore, it provides depth. So when you had that injury, then the rest is history with Chambliss has done.
Man, that first game he started against Tulane, and everybody was, man, they're not going to be nearly as good. Man, he rushed for over 100 yards, and, man, he was deadly accurate throwing the football. He was a difference maker from that moment forward and certainly been a big-time player in college football. We'll be back with more Second Guess. Mike Dottillo along with the Cajun Cannon Bobby Hebert at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. More Second Guess right after this news break.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different, good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Welcome back to the Second Guest Show. Mike Dottillo along with the Cajun Cannon Bobby Hebert. We had the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by and visit us. Cannon and I will be here till 6:30 tonight, and then we'll throw it to the Saints Radio Network where I'll be our Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. Mike Hoss being the host. He'll have on with him Saints head coach Kellen Moore and their quarterback coach Scott. And, former Scott Tolzien, former NFL quarterback, and now kind of guiding the career of Tyler Shook. Got something there. I really do believe it. He's here with us each and every Monday night from the Silver Slipper, Mr. Les Sackett. Les.
Hi. Thanks.
Thanks so appreciate much for joining here. Us, Les.
Les. Yeah. Less is more. Less
yeah,
is more.
Yeah. That's right. Bob stole that from when Les Miles was at.
Les Miles. Well, I'm not going to talk about Les.
How was the weekend here at the Slipper? And tell us what you got coming up as Christmas nears and quickly.
It was a good weekend. Lots of fun. We had our Slippers of Cash on Thursday. We had up to 5,000, so it was the first of our of this season. So we had 5,000, no winner, so it rolls over to 10,000. And this Thursday, somebody will have a chance to win $10,000 in cash. And if it just isn't picked, it'll just keep rolling over by 5,000, and we could get up to 100,000 like we did last time.
So you can go into the new year then, right?
Yeah. It's going to go through, I think, until Memorial Day.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, man, that thing could go more than 100 grand, right? Yeah, y'all might have to put a little bit of money back in the kitty with that. Tell us what's happening here as we get close to the Christmas season.
Well, the for us, we're having two nights to celebrate the New Year. On Saturday, December 27th, we're going to have a celebration. We're going to have Tease Me Band, who will be on the stage. Then on New Year's Eve, we'll have another celebration, and that will be with Joni Compretta and the Baytown Groove will be on stage. So that is the big thing that we have going on. We also have Christmas Day specials at the buffet and at the Blue Bayou.
And so I suggest everybody, if they want to go to the Blue Bayou, you better get them reservations in. And if you want to stay here for New Year's Eve, I don't know, it might be no room at the inn, but give them a call here to see if they have any hotels, because, man, you think about that, Georgia will play the winner of Ole Miss and Tulane, and they got a lot of people that they go to the game, but they stay in Mississippi.
Yeah, and we also had the person that won the Sugar Bowl tickets.
Man, that's pretty sweet.
They're going to get to go the Sugar Bowl. Hopefully, it'll be Ole Miss in Georgia.
Well, I know for you, because I was going to ask you about that. It's been a tumultuous couple weeks.
Yes,
you being an Ole Miss guy and everything, to see what happens. And I think everybody was wondering how this team is going to react. Because Lane was unique as a coach. Pete Golding, who's a Louisiana guy from Hammond, Louisiana. I remember Pete when he was coaching at Southeastern Louisiana. This was years ago. Then he ends up being Nick Saban's defensive coordinator at Alabama for a stretch, and then goes to Ole Miss with Lane Kiffin, of how the reaction will be. And I think the team will want to play hard for Pete. I think that maybe is getting a little bit blown out of proportion. I think they want to do well for Golding and themselves, because this is all about them at this stage.
They're going to have a chip on their shoulder because of everything that's gone down. I think Pete Golding, being elevated to head coach is popular with the players. He also will call the defense. Charlie Weiss is actually going to be with us for the offense. So I think offensively and defensively, the plays should be fine. It's just whether or not they're, going to come to play.
Okay, the craziest thing is the rematch could happen between Georgia and Ole Miss. That was a hell of a game to watch. Now, you didn't like the ending of what happened with Georgia, but that was a really entertaining game between those two teams.
And that game, Ole Miss blew it. I mean,
they had an opportunity.
They had a double-digit lead at the end.
They were up by 10 in the fourth quarter. Problem is, they didn't make Georgia punt the entire game.
What?
Yeah, the only time that they got off the field was when they missed a field goal. That was it.
Yeah, it does bode well if you can force your opponent to punt.
Yeah, every once in a while. And then to think they flipped it. They went to Norman, Oklahoma, and I thought that was the best game Ole Miss played all year long. They go to Norman, and at that time, man, Ole Miss I didn't know if they could stop John Mateer in that offense, and they've slammed the door on that real quick. And Oklahoma's
that
offense
is really good.
Oh yeah, Oklahoma, but they couldn't stop Ole Miss that day.
No, they couldn't.
Well, even though Tulane got embarrassed by Ole Miss, and it was didn't look like they even belong. I think he can change,
But I still think it's better that Tulane's playing Ole Miss than if they had to go way out in Northwest
like
and play
James
Oregon.
Madison.
No, and play Oregon. You know, I just look. I mean, Tulane, I think they're ecstatic. They end the postseason. You know, they took advantage of the rules and the situation they're in and where they were ranked.
And I think they'll play a better – well, they couldn't play a worse game. But I think they'll play a better game against Ole Miss than the first
We're later
time.
Into the season.
Yeah.
They're a better team now than they were when we played.
And Ratzlaff wasn't good that game.
Yeah.
Jake was not good that game.
I think
game
he completed, what, four or five passes, yeah, something like that?
And once you're behind on Ole Miss, then they played Sikkim. After Ratzlaff, there was no really trying to run the football. But that was Trinidad Chambliss' coming out game.
Yes.
The first game he was a starter.
Yeah, and he's just gotten better since then.
Man.
So I'm excited to see the Ole Miss Tulane game, and then hopefully we'll advance.
Did that surprise you, or how much did you know about Chambliss and also Kawan Lacey at running back? Man, he's the hammer.
He's good. I had no idea who Chambliss was. I had to look up online like everybody else.
Yeah, yeah.
Kawan Lacey, I know he was from Missouri. Transferred in, and he's been fantastic.
Man, he's a brute to take down one-on-one. And also, he's a really good receiver coming out of the backfield. So, be an interesting game. Also, too, man, how you feel about the Saints? A big win yesterday on the road in Tampa in not the best weather.
Shuck looked pretty good. I didn't know he had the legs that he did.
I don't think anybody did, the way he could move around really,
well. If you look at
really
the first touchdown, how fast he was running. You know, I think, you know, look at the angles defenders are taking, and I forgot what his speed he got up to. Charlie, I think, had told me it was like 19 point something.
Wow. That's fast.
That's fast. He was moving when he got that corner. So that's something you can't coach that. Either you're fast or you're not fast, you know, and stuff. So, I think we were all pleasantly surprised, and I think Shuck's confident right now. Now, what you got to do, you got to build upon what you did last game, and we got to throw a bone to the home fans. You know, in the dome, we wanted to give them something to cheer for. You know what we need to do? Get off to a fast start like we did against Tampa.
But not shut it down after that one.
No, even if we get off to a fast start, no, because we had to leave. We never have to leave. We can't score in the first quarter. All of a sudden, Tipton runs a 54-yard kickoff return.
Now, that was a big play.
I thought I was watching Drew Brees and Sean Payne. We go six plays, 45 yards, 2 minutes, 36 seconds. We're winning 7-0. The Dome will go crazy if we do that against Carolina come Sunday.
Hopefully you can build off of that one time in the first half. Because then after that, Bob, they seemed to – it didn't connect. But then, again, what has been the consistent part here? This team has not played well early, but they played much better in the second half of games.
Yeah. If you look at it, and, again, this is not an opinion. Do you know that that our defense, you know, you think, okay, how can you brag on our defense? Where are they at, Bobby? But if you look at it, I got to find it somewhere in my nose. But anyway, what it is that we up with the Houston Texans, second half defense and fourth quarter defense. Do you know we number one scoring defense in the whole NFL second half? And in the fourth quarter, we're only behind the Texans and ahead of the Broncos. We only give up 3 points in the fourth quarter.
The problem has been the first half.
Yeah. No, that's what I mean. So we're closing out games. Good. Now we just got to get the first two quarters with it.
Les, tell us what else is happening here at the Slipper. And, again, big Christmas Day spread here. Also for New Year's, if you want to come here to band and be part of the New Year's Eve celebration, you can come on down. But if you want to stay, get reservations early, and also for the Blue Bayou.
The one big thing that we're going to have going on is the Slippers of Cash. That's what people really want. That's going to be $10,000 cash this upcoming weekend. Then, for 27th and 31st, we're going to have celebrations of New Year's. So we'll have hats, horns, tiaras, all that stuff. And that'll be, at the end of the month. With Tease Me Band on the 27th and Joni Capretta and Baytown Groove
on
the 31st.
You got to see one of them tiaras and horns and all. Man, Bobby won that.
Yeah, I better dress up. Now, I got it right here so you don't think I'm making this up. 2025 team second half opponents, points per game leaders. The Saints are number one. given up 7.3. The Houston Texans are 7.8. Now Carolina, who we playing?
They next.
They're 8.1, like Denver's 8.8, so they're like 6. So look at this. This is where we're only behind Houston. Fewest points allowed in the fourth quarter. How you close out games? They Texas giving up 3.1. We giving up 3.8. And Sean Payton's great defense, the Broncos, giving up 4 points. So I'm telling you, we got something to, that we are amongst the best. Because everyone talks about the Texans and then the Broncos defense. And isn't scoring defense one of the most important things, like scoring offense?
If you on defense, so yeah, it is the most important.
That's very promising.
Les, come on down to the Silver Slipper.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Les Sackett does a great job here at the Silver Slipper Casino. We'll be back. Big John's waiting for us right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're back here on the second guest show. Mike Dottiglia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. We've got a lineup. They're getting squares for the Monday night game between the Eagles and the Chargers, and you can hear that game live on 105.3 FM and starting at 7:30. Bob, let's go to our talking text line. Got on Big John. Big John, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen. And for the third time this season, and I suspect not for the last time, I get to say hail to the mighty Saints. But before I talk about the Saints, guys, you know, this college football playoff situation is an absolute cluster you-know-what. And I could not be more delighted about it because it's very obvious that the entire system has been broken. And the playoffs are simply a reflection of that. And, you know, we thought with four teams going to 12, we would settle all the arguments. And it's like a Hydra head. When you cut off one head or you get two more that grow in its place. And now you have all the talk about, you know, Alabama getting too much consideration, Notre Dame getting left out. James Madison, you know, a 21-point underdog going into its playoff game. This is what I call a glorious mess for the college football playoffs. And it obviously there's going to have to be some sort of reassessment of the whole mechanism going into next year and the year after.
And expand it to 16 teams.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen.
See, Big John, if I'm a conspiracy theorist, I say this was set up for this to happen. It's almost like they wanted something bad to happen so they could expand this to four more teams. Now, I'm not one of those people that believe everything's a conspiracy theory. But on this, if I was, that'd be the first thing I point toward. Man, somebody's setting this up to make extra money because then that's a couple extra games.
Yeah, and that has come back to haunt Notre Dame being an independent. And not being in a conference. I think that played a big part where they were. Can you imagine? Because they played in other sports, they're in a conference.
In the ACC.
What do you think if Notre Dame would have been in ACC? Well, they'd be going because ACC representative instead of being independent.
That's how they rolled the end of the year. Man, you didn't want to see them on the schedule. Well, and I'll be honest with you, I think had they gotten into the playoffs, I wouldn't want to play them. Not with that quarterback, not with that running back, and their defense is really good. And then really, really good.
Well, and you look at it, but you got to go, head-to-head, they lost to Miami.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it should be settled on the field.
I agree with that.
Everybody having an opinion and all that. I mean, we can't get enough football, so if you want to throw a bone to the likes, if you're not in the Power 5, then you make them have a play-in game. Like, I don't know, I'd like to see James Madison and Tulane. That'd be a competitive game. I mean, realistically. Yeah, Tulane and James Madison. Can you imagine James Madison at Oregon? Or even, look, hey, listen, you could be a Tulane fan, and I'm not hating on Tulane, even though my dad would cheer for Rush over Tulane. But that's another story.
Your dad would pull for Ole Miss over Tulane?
No, he wouldn't watch the game. He wouldn't watch either one of you. So a diehard LSU, he would not. But the point me, it'd be more, okay, that would be intriguing. James Madison and Tulane play, and then you could be on the back end of the playoffs. All I know is that, now, Bobby, but it's hard to beat a team like three times. You could see, you know, two times. You hear that argument all the time. All I know is that who really watched the whole game, Ole Miss and Tulane? That was embarrassing.
And even John Sumrall said it.
Yes. It was like Tulane didn't even like they even belonged on the field with him. I mean, what was the final score? 45-10?
Yeah.
Big John, you probably watched that. And I was like, well, I was like, oh, maybe let's see what Tulane's going to do. And I was like, whoa. It looked like the JV versus the varsity from the get-go.
Yeah, we watching the game as we doing the pregame show, Herb Tyler and I. And the first time I saw Trinidad Chambliss, I sent the clip to Charlie. I was like, Herb, that guy, Chambliss, he reminds me of you. And Herb laughed, and he was like, well, he's built like me, but if I was playing in his offense, I maybe would be like him.
Huh?
Lane Kiffin's offense.
Been playing an opportunity at a different time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, the Tulane's been outstanding. What they've done basically the past decade with Coach Fritz and now Coach Sumrall, that speaks volumes. And then when people say, they have loyalists, Tulane loyalists. I can't believe Coach Sumrall's leaving Tulane. I go, what are you talking about? Being in that situation, can you imagine, okay, if somebody, I don't know, I'm just going to throw these numbers out there. I know it exactly right. But let's say Tulane's paying you $3.5 million. That's a lot of money to coach. But then Florida's going to give you like right at $8 million, $7.5, $8 million. And I don't know, wouldn't you want to coach in the SEC, whatever? Okay, I'm coaching at Tulane. The stadium's packed. What it holds, 25, 30,000 versus 100,000 in the swamp? Come on.
And I told him this week, I said, just get ready for some new music when they start the fourth quarter. Don't back down.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he was like, Mike, we'll talk about that later. We'll talk about that one later. Big John, thanks so much for the call, bud. Really appreciate it. When we come back, more Tulane talk we'll have on with us. Matty Hudak, who is the sideline reporter for the Tulane Green Wave. Will Hall gets the head coaching job, but we'll also talk about Tulane's big win over North Texas, which gets them now into the playoff system right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on the second guest show, Mike DeTellier along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi, on our talk and text line. She covers the Tulane Green Wave, sideline reporter there. And for the first time, she gets to cover a playoff atmosphere game, not only this past Friday, but bang, again, as Tulane will play Ole Miss. Matty Hudak. Matty, first of all, congratulations. You get into that 12 number, but you get to call it. So, man, what was the feeling of watching at the end of that game knowing that Tulane was going to be in that number, in that 12?
I'll say it was kind of hard to process in real time, but the feelings that I had came on pretty early in the game. I was kind of, wondering if there was going to be a conference championship. That would just remind me of the way Tulane won in 22, where they started out, and it just never really felt like they were ever going to lose that game. And pretty much after they got the ball, in the opening possession after North Texas took that first score, you just never got the sense that Tulane was going to lose that one, and it kind of allowed me to, I think, soak it in a little longer during the game than I expected to.
Yeah, because the weather wasn't great, but, man, the students really turned
out. Well,
when
you win, the weather's good.
Yeah, it's all good, right, Matty, as long as you win.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I really do have to shout out just the students for how much they've really, really showed up all season. And, the weather being bad, it kind of did favor the Green Wave with North Texas being such a pass-happy team. Tulane was happy to just put the ball in the trenches. That was kind of their game plan to start off. And so rain or shine, I think that was just going to be a winning game plan for the Wave.
Now, Matty, here you are on the sidelines. You're part of Tulane football. You probably never envisioned that Tulane would be in this position. But you're around the program. And how would you describe if Tulane would be able to pull off the upset because it's a playoff game against Ole Miss versus, to me, it was unbelievable, Coach Fritz beating USC and Caleb Williams in the Cotton Bowl. I mean, to me, that game, I was, like, freaked out. I was more impressed with that than even the North Texas Stadium winning the championship. And you were there. How would you reflect on that?
Yeah, I mean, the Cotton Bowl will just always kind of be one of the most insane experiences of my life, just the way that those final minutes went down. And to really watch a team that just believed in themselves all year long when they had won two games the year prior and only one against an FBS team, it was really, really magical to be able to see that. But, when you talk about what this would mean to the program, just being at the selection party on Sunday morning and seeing the reaction of these guys that, you know, when pretty much all of them committed to Tulane, at least these senior guys, the 12-team format wasn't a possibility. And, you know, people that have followed along with Tulane, the idea that they're in the college football playoff and being able to, you know, literally make history with that. And it's in an environment that, you know, they are familiar with this season. Yes, it didn't go their way at all that first time around, but this December team is just not the same as the September team that went to Oxford the first time. But it helps kind of make the big lights not be that bright.
Maddie, yeah, go ahead, Mike.
Maddie, I was going to ask you your thoughts, because you've been around Will Hall not once but twice, so to speak, because he was on Willie Fritz's staff, and then he takes over at Southern Miss. Things didn't go very well there as a head coach. And now coming back, being on John Summerall's staff, and now being the new head coach at Tulane, your thoughts on Will Hall?
So I'll say I wasn't actually around him in his first stint. So the first season that I took the job was the year that, you know, he left and went on to coach Southern Miss. But I always think about the fact that, you know, that Tulane team in the Cotton Bowl year, they lost two games that year, and one of them was to Will Hall in the Southern Miss Golden Eagles. And just hearing the way the guys spoke about Will Hall, you know, as someone that I hadn't really been around, it really, really always stuck with me. And, you know, I think the fact that, again, he's been on these two separate staff that are responsible for such a great culture here at Tulane, but then being able to actually see him in action when he came around the second time, I had heard so much about him, and I really got it. Just being able to really watch him on the sidelines these last couple of games, he's just been such a really active in-game leader that the guys have really looked to. And just hearing again from so many former players on the sidelines of the championship game how much they really wanted it to be Will Hall, I think the players that have really turned this culture around, their voice to me definitely matters.
You know, Maddie, was that the case of point? I guess you just answered it, to bring stability, to continue that stability at Tulane with the players. And obviously, you know, in the transfer portal and all what comes about with that, that it was almost the future. And looking at the players who you want to keep around on the team, that it brings stability. I think that was a big part of it. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think just how the players trusting him, familiar with him, and then you're not just blowing up the team and people are transferring everywhere.
No, I absolutely agree. And, you know, you kind of look back when Willie Fritz left, it was kind of this question of, is this all a glass house or does Tulane really have something here? And so there was a little bit more unsureness at that time. There was also such a slam dunk external hire in John Summerall that didn't really exist this year. And, you know, whatever kind of went down with Blake Baker, it was ultimately still a risk of a guy that, you know, not only did he not have head coaching experience, but, you know, he's been around a different program, whereas, yes, it didn't work out for Will Hall when he was at Southern Miss. It was a different ballgame when he was there. Someone pointed out earlier in the year that he had to start like 9 different quarterbacks, including Frank Gore Jr., who was a running back as a cornerback that year. And so no coach is really going to be able to succeed in those circumstances. But I think the idea, yes, is you're probably able to retain a lot more of the staff on this team than a guy that would be coming in and bringing all of his guys. And this is a team that you now know is a winning championship team. It's not this question of just having the Cotton Bowl year and a few bowl games before that. This has now been sustained excellence under this staff, under these guys, and I absolutely understand having that that continuity argument with Hall.
Now, Maddie, the question I have for you, what does Tulane have to do, I don't know, to hang with Ole Miss and maybe pull off the upset? Because I was intrigued. I remember, Tulane's going to hang with Ole Miss, and I was basing that upon, look, they beat Northwestern, a Big Ten team. They beat Duke. Look at Duke. They win we didn't know they were going to win the ACC Conference Championship, but they beat Northwestern, they beat Duke, and then they didn't even look like they belonged on the field with Ole Miss. So what's going to be different, in your opinion, this time around?
Yeah, I mean, it's a completely fair question. I think it was a little shell-shocking just how shell-shocked they looked after being so in control of those Power Four matchups. You know, I don't really want to totally blame physical attrition, but I think there was definitely a lot of that. I think there was definitely the emotional hangover of everything that they put into that Duke win, as much as they kind of tried to downplay all the outside noise going into that. And then you just look at the fact that Jake Retzlaff had showed up on campus a month before the season started, and, or I'm sorry, you know, a week week before training camp, about a month before the Ole Miss game at that point, and he went something like 0 for 11 to start the game. He eventually threw his first touchdown pass to a wide receiver all season, and it might not even have been him. I think it was Brendan Sullivan that threw that. It took this passing game such a long time to really click, and I think you didn't fully see that take form until the Memphis game on. But I just look at that team playing a completely different type of football. You didn't have Jamari McClure at running back. You kind of had Javon Gordon, but that element of the offense was not there as well. And then the defense, you know, this is a really new group of guys in the secondary that had to replace three NFL defensive backs at this point in Caleb Bransaw, Jonathan Edwards, and Micah Robinson. And they were inexperienced, and they just weren't really prepared for a lot of the speed and size of that roster and that game. And I think it just kind of snowballed. But I also always look back at the third quarter where the defense didn't allow any points by Ole Miss. So they clearly did figure something out at that point. I just don't think they really could believe in themselves, and I just don't think they had played enough games together. But I think that ultimately what they've gone through and actually kind of built on in terms of adversity since that Ole Miss game, it just totally makes the mental game a different ballgame this time.
Maddie, I think when it comes down to the playoff outlet, and we even saw it in the conference kind of championship games, the more physical team wins. I had this conversation with Coach O a little bit more than a week ago, and him and I talked about this, that is such a big part. If you're going to advance, you got to win up front. Now, you got to have good quarterback play. Ratzel didn't have a good game against Ole Miss, and, you know, none of us knew much about Trinidad Chambliss, but he comes in here. It was really his first start. He had played a little bit the week before because Austin Simmons went down. But can Tulane match the physicality of Ole Miss on the offensive defensive line? I think that is the big key in this game.
I 100% agree with you, and you don't have to look further than how Tulane played Ole Miss in 23 without having Michael Pratt. The trenches were going toe-to-toe with not mauling Ole Miss, and I think that really got them a lot of respect that season. But in terms of, you know, I actually thought about this, and it's not like it totally, you know, Shadre Hurst played well, but he was actually, I believe, in place of Derek Graham at left tackle for that game. And then you had to play Elijah Baker, I believe, at left guard. And so you didn't have any of your starters in place at that point. I think they were still kind of trying to figure out the rotation on the right side at that point as well. They've since settled into Jordan Hall at right guard and Reese Baker at right tackle. But that was a little bit of a turnstile. And then the pass rush, something that I keep thinking about is, you look at Tulane's pass rush last year when they started conference play, and it was night and day from when they started the year. They brought back someone named Mike Storms as a hand fighting consultant. You know, he was a black belt in karate, was in the Marines and really teaches them hand fighting combat skills. He's kind of come back on staff since the Memphis game as well. He worked a lot with Mo Westmoreland this offseason, but he kind of worked on with Harvey Dice, and I saw him one-on-one before the North Texas game, and then Harvey had one of the best pass rush games of his life. So I just think that the two sides of the trenches for Tulane have definitely grown as the season started, but I absolutely agree with you that if the trenches aren't there, that's the end-all, be-all when you look at the SEC versus the Group of Five.
Maddie, I'm going to let you go on this, but you've covered this for the last few years at Tulane. I don't know you'll ever cover a guy, probably somebody who's bigger, stronger, faster, and more, say, ready for the NFL. What Sam Howard has brought to that defense has been unbelievable. You talk about the ultimate leader. Sam Howard is that guy. You know, there's something special about him. And I know he might not fit all the variables in the NFL, but that dude can play.
He can absolutely play. I mean, you just look at, again, he was one of the few guys that couldn't play in the UTSA game, and that defense looked lost out there on the field, both because of his play and just the person that he is. He's one of the most special guys that I've had the chance to cover at Tulane, and I think he's one of those leaders that made the difference in them becoming conference championship on Friday night.
Maddie, thanks so much for joining us. Hope to get you on next week as Tulane plays Ole Miss in that 12 unit, and try to get a W out in Oxford. Thank you, Maddie. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys, and roll wave.
All right, Maddie. Thank you. Maddie Hudak does a great job covering the Tulane Green Wave, also the Green Wave sideline reporter, and also, too, man, I got to shout it out, Steve Barrios in that booth all those years, and he was on that team that played Colorado Liberty Bowl 1970. They were able to win it and sort of put that stamp on a run for Tulane in this with Larry Smith and all in the 70s. So Steve, you're listening, man. We appreciate what you've done for the community.
Now, you know what I want Lane Kiffin to do? He has so much power. I want Lane Kiffin to say, you know what? We need to play Tulane every year. We need to throw the fans a bone. Who would be against that? The fans aren't against it. You know, all the money and all that. No, everybody wants to see Louisiana. I mean, in Louisiana, they want to see LSU and Tulane.
You play almost every other school in the state.
Yeah, no, they need to play. Come on, throw the fans a bone.
We'll be back to finish it up here in our number two of Second Guest right after this break. Finishing up here in our number two of the Second Guest Show, Mike DeTay along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. We'll be back for another half hour of Second Guest, be our triple option feature right after this news break on the Big 870 WWL. Welcome back to the Second Guest Show, Mike DeTay along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Bobby J and I will be here until 6:30 tonight. And then at 6:30, we throw it to the Saints Radio Network. It will be the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. Mike will also be the host. They'll have on with them Saints head coach Kellen Moore and quarterbacks coach Scott Tolzien will be a former NFL quarterback himself and now mentoring Tyler Shuck. And then on Monday Night Football, you can hear that on the FM side at 105.3. L.A. Chargers play the Philadelphia Eagles, and Bob, some stuff that has come up over the last 15 minutes. 44-year-old Philip Rivers is going to work out tomorrow for the Indianapolis Colts. With the injury to Daniel Jones, Philip Rivers, who has not played since 2020, is now going to work out for the Indianapolis coach at 44 years old.
Well, he's probably in shape. I think he was coaching
He was a high school coach.
Fairhope, Alabama. Philip Rivers is a winner. You know who you can thank for him having an opportunity is what Joe Flacco has done.
Yep.
Joe Flacco, think within the division, and then Mike Tomlin get all mad. Well, what are y'all doing, Cleveland Browns, letting them go to Cincinnati?
Yeah.
He practiced like 2 or 3 days and played unbelievable. That goes to show you, for all the old farts, that you can thank, if you have an opportunity, Joe Flacco. Because the stability, playing the quarterback position, and a lot of it, you know, you still got to physically have it, but it's so much mental. And I would think Philip Rivers, if he has a good workout, why not? Well, why not give him an opportunity? Because you look at where the Colts are at. Anthony Richardson, what he's still hurt.
They caught the
bond. What, they're going to go with the Notre Dame cat?
He can't play at this level, Bob. He's a backup guy at this level.
Well, it got to the point. Look, we all know that Joe Flacco's not Joe Burrow. But look at the numbers Flacco put up when Joe Burrow was hurt.
And he kept feeding Jamar Chase. Jamar.
He wasn't no weak link.
No.
So, I don't know. Why not roll the dice? Because the Colts are desperate right now. They lose their quarterback, a torn Achilles. Boy, you talk about you have to have luck with injuries. But when you talk about injuries and where the team's at, that's why you got to take advantage of when you're winning now. Look where the Commanders are at now. They're bad. Look at Jayden Daniels when he's been available. He hasn't been available.
And the defense is terrible.
Right, but look where they were last year. And, Mike, you always have one of those stinkers. Well, they had a stinker against the Vikings.
And they made J.J. McCarthy look good.
And you know what's crazy? It just goes to show you. That's why I love the NFL, because Charlie loves it when I say this. It's pros versus pros.
Yeah.
You don't know what's going to happen. The Saints were 8.5-point underdog. That was tied with the Cardinals and the Rams. Now, the Rams crushed the Cardinals. Usually that game was close, but that was 8.5 points. But they waxed them. But the Saints, not only 8.5-point underdog, the Saints won by 4 points.
So that was a pretty nice cover.
So, right? And I guarantee you that next weekend they're going to have a game. You know how you do that survivor pool and all that? You got to pick and all the money involved. That is hard to win that. And how you pick what team and all that.
Not a Panthers 2.5-point favorite over the Saints.
Yeah,
because basically that's almost like a pick'em game.
And the Saints waxed them in Carolina, and it's in the dome.
But Carolina's playing for something.
Well, look, Carolina, look how they waxed the Rams, who's considered one of the best teams in the NFC. That's why you never know. I'm telling you, next week there's going to be an upset. Every week there's at least one, if not two. What? Then you look at the score, you think it might be a misprint about the outcome of the game. And that was this week. It was like no one. no one thought the Saints were going to beat Tampa Bay.
No. Bob, also to 36-year-old Jason Pierre-Paul is coming out of retirement, and he's going to sign with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 36 years old.
It shows you it doesn't matter how many fingers you have, he still can rush the passer. You know, he had that fireworks accident where he got two fingers blown off, so he only got like a little, he got like five on one hand, I think three on the other. So he only got eight fingers, but he can rush the passer. It doesn't matter. You're not playing the piano or anything. No, it's like the quarterback. So Jason Pierre-Paul, I mean,
okay, it's out.
The Haitian sensation.
Our triple option feature, Bob, you first.
Well, I don't know. This would have been better last week. We were doing that. We were at Manning Children's Hospital. But this is when the Saints were down, but we beat Tampa Bay. And this is when the Bears were rolling. I think the Bears played unbelievable.
They played great yesterday.
Against
just
Green
couldn't
Bay.
Close it.
It just shows you how the Bears are relevant. But this goes back to you can't feel sorry for yourself as a player. You got to be a pro. You got to be able to handle adversity. What I mean by that, groupie, the kicker. Remember I told you Groupie's going to have another chance. Here's ex-Saints Groupie. He got signed by the Colts on the practice squad. Did he kick for the Colts? Like, I don't even know, Charlie. Did he kick for the Colts this week? I don't even know. But anyway, I'm going to say the former Saints kicker was signed by the Colts last week. And they needed a kicker because they waived Michael Badgley. So he wasn't getting it done. We all know Groupie didn't have success. We went with Charlie Smith. But you let Charlie Smith miss another kick. Who knows? We're going to go with Cade York. I mean, it's just the way it is. You got to make it. And he got to make that kick. Charlie Smith got to make that kick against Tampa Bay. It was straight, barely missed. But barely missed, you might as well miss by a lot. You got to kick it between the uprights. And the reason why I'm bringing this up, because you want to be a pro football player. Obviously, we love the Saints, and you want players wanting to play for the Saints. But don't you just really, in general, want to be a pro football player? Boy, you're well compensated and are a professional coach. Okay, and then you might say, like, oh, man, I can't believe it. And you go home and you tell your wife, God, man, I lost some confidence. Like, for instance, Kubiak, we ran him out of town. I think he's doing pretty good with the Seahawks right now, running that offense. Aren't the Seahawks relevant in the NFC?
Just like the same guys that, oh, we run that Zach Bowen out of town.
Yeah.
Look what happened to him.
He goes to the Eagles, win a Super Bowl. He's an all-pro. Our head coach, Dennis Allen. Oh, he's with the Bears. Oh, well, you think he's feeling sorry for himself? No, he looks at his opportunity. Now he's with Chicago. So the same thing with Groupie. He's not with the coach. They all in the playoff picture. We out the playoffs. Now we had a great showing against Tampa. The point I'm bringing up is that, hey, as a player, you got to be tough. You got to be tough and be able to handle adversity. You can't be like, oh, I can't believe this team doesn't want me. What?
Okay, Bob.
You got to be like a mercenary, a hard gun, and just go get the job done wherever you're at. Groupie. That's how you become a millionaire, multi.
Groupie kicked yesterday. He was 2 for 2. He hit a 28 and a 36-yard field goal.
Well, he better make that up. The Colts would have got rid of him. If he'd have missed that.
He might have been unemployed again.
And the Colts are desperate right now because they've gone from the penthouse to the outhouse dealing with injuries.
Real quick.
Because that's when everybody went to get rid of Daniel Jones with the Giants, and all of a sudden Indiana was embracing him. He was Indiana Jones, in Indianapolis Colts. But how are you dealing with injuries? But, you know, they probably have, to me, the best player in the NFL, and I'd want to see him in the postseason.
Jonathan Taylor,
their running back, ain't nobody better than him. And it's a shame he's playing in Indianapolis. No, if he was – listen, I think he's better than Saquon Barkley. Whoever you think's the best, Derrick Henry, I think Jonathan Taylor, a Wisconsin Badger, I think there ain't nobody better than him. Just look up the numbers. All you fantasy people know about Jonathan Taylor.
Charlie?
Guys, I'm going to go with the bowl opt-outs. There's been 10 so far in college football. Obviously, Notre Dame was the biggest one, the most publicized one. A 10-2 season, they got kind of, I don't even want to say slighted. Mike, you and I talked about this ahead of time. When you were having to decide between Alabama and Notre Dame and Miami for the final two spots, there was three teams that really had a shot. They leave out Notre Dame, and then Notre Dame comes out with this statement, and you can think what you want about it, but they opted out of their bowl game. So they're the first team that did it, Kansas State, Kansas, Iowa State, Auburn, FSU, UCF, Baylor, Temple, and Rutgers were the other nine teams that have already opted out of their games. And guys, there's one thing that kind of stands out about all of this to me. Outside of Notre Dame, seven of those teams were 5-7. I remember in years past, there's been times where there haven't been enough 6-plus win teams to fill in bowl games, and there's been a couple of teams that were 5-7 that got to fill in spots. But having seven teams decline bowl invitations that were 5-7, finished with a losing record, guys, I don't think I've ever seen that before.
Well, if you have a losing record and you have five wins, your season's over.
Right.
You can't be rewarded for having a losing season, going to bowl. That reminds me of modern day society, I guess 21st century.
Everybody gets a
damn trophy. Oh, you're participating. Oh, come on, you get a trophy. Now, give everybody a ribbon, but not a trophy. Okay, because how your kids are going to learn about the real world? Oh, look at my room. I got all these trophies. What have you won? Well, I haven't won anything. I was just on the team. What? That's going to not help your kids down the road. It's the difference between winning something for real versus I'm just on the team. Come on. Now you get a ribbon, not a trophy. So if you're rewarding teams 5-7 going to a bowl, that's terrible. You're not teaching nobody nothing. Oh, we didn't win anything. Well, we go on a bowl. That's unbelievable.
But
that's not good for society.
Guys, I also say this.
I agree.
I'll also say this real quick. It's just like with Notre Dame opting out of everything after their 10-2 campaign and really pouting after this whole process of being left out, it's really not a good precedent that's been set for teams that just get left out of the playoff conversation, last team out type of deal that, you know, you're just going to not play at all once you don't make the playoff. It's playoff or bust. I get it, like, but it just feels like it's starting to be the death of the bowl kind of tradition in college football. It's going down the drain pretty quickly.
Some weird names. It's not the Poulon Weed Eater Bowl.
It's
no,
the
more.
Pop-Tarts. Pop-Tarts Bowl. Man, I want to go there. All the Pop-Tarts you can eat.
Now the whole thing, no. He was on Barstool Sports at All with T-Bob and Arnold this morning, yeah. The Notre Dame AD. So Coach Freeman and the captains, they voted not to go because their whole team wasn't going to play in the bowl game. All their stud NFL
Jeremiah
players,
Love's not playing in that.
No, so they go, if we can't all play, they would have played in a playoff, but they're not going to go to a bowl. No, the bowls might go by the way of a dinosaur unless you're a major bowl. Now, we want the New Orleans Bowl. Look, you got Western Kentucky, you got Southern Miss, and that's good, and a little bit with the, you know, with the economy and all that. But as far as just to go to a bowl, what? Unless you're playing in a major bowl like Sugar, Orange, and all that, Rose Bowl, Fiesta, or whatever, go on and on, Peach Bowl. Unless you're one of those major bowls, I mean, come on. That's a money-making grab. It's all those executives. They want to keep their jobs, so we got to have a bowl. We got to have a bowl.
And to the fact that it sells on TV.
Oh, yeah, because they don't have enough content. TV don't have enough content.
Bingo.
So they want all these games. But then you might have teams that are winning only five games. They're playing on TV. What? That team wasn't good.
And they're selling to the gambling crowd, which is bigger now than ever before.
Amen.
Don't leave that out of it.
And be like, bet. Oh, yeah, I can bet on something. Let me bet on this. You know, you need to go to Gamblers Anonymous. Yeah.
We'll be back with finishing up here on Second Guess right after this break. Finishing up here on the Second Guest Show, want to thank everybody here at the Silver Slipper Casino, Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi, and also everybody listening. We're going to throw it now to the Saints Radio Network. It'll be our visit, Pensacola Saints Coaches Show, Mike Hawes, Saints Head Coach Kellen Moore, and Saints Quarterback Coach Scott Tolzien coming up next right here on the Big 870 WWL.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.